Good Sunday, Bills fans. This is the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. It is game day, preseason game number 3, and this is a special edition of the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you so much for tuning into this show. Well, in a little bit here, Nick Wotan, the managing editor, will join me. But first, just want to remind everybody that they can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and you can catch us on Stitcher, wherever you get your shows and prefer to listen to those. You can find us. We are pretty much all over the web, and we hope that you subscribe and share with other fans that we're out there, and they can give us a listen. I'm going to bring in now managing editor Nick Wotan to preview tonight's game, a big one for the Bills, and I also think he has his dog Roscoe with him. Is that right, Nick?
Roscoe, right next to me on the couch, just moved his ears when he heard his name, but he's hanging out, and we're ready for some football.
Yeah, it's Sunday here, and we're getting ready for a special Sunday edition of our Bills Wire podcast, by the way. So we thought it would be appropriate to do this as the Bills are going to line up against the Bengals at 4 p.m. later, and Andy Dalton comes to Western New York after getting the Bills in the playoffs. I'm wondering if the Bills, one, will recognize him in any way, and I'm assuming, of course, Bills fans will at least maybe have a standing ovation for him or clap when his name's announced. I'm really interested to see how fans react and the Bills, if they do anything at all.
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting to see if the team certainly does. I actually hadn't thought about that to this point, Jeremy. I know, just to try to, if you will, capitalize on the situation with Andy Dalton. Just thought maybe we'd put up a little bit of a poll on our website, BillsWire.com, and see what fans are thinking. And pretty much I just asked folks, hey, what are you going to do? If you were there on Sunday, if you are going to be there, what would you do in terms of Andy Dalton specifically or Tyler Boyd? Are you going to cheer for him? Yes, no. And right now it's a resounding yes, 90%. Of fans are saying that they are looking forward to cheering for Andy Dalton today. So I would expect some cheers at some point, somehow, some way, for Andy Dalton for, of course, helping end a pretty lengthy playoff drought last time I checked.
Let's talk the punting competition for just a second to look for later in this game, because John Ryan was signed this past week to, I guess, compete with Colton Schmidt, and I'm wondering how they divvy that up. You know, with the quarterback position, it's this rotation, right, with McDermott, and that's what they want to do. But then you have this also punting situation, and I'm going to the punting situation because it's funny, number one. But number two, there really isn't that many positions up for grabs. I think the starters are pretty much entrenched after the quarterback position for the most part on this team. And just curious, you know, and just to kind of, you know, crack a joke about it a little bit, the punting situation, I'm just curious how they're going to go about it in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, it's not quite like when Corey Coleman came in, he had to learn a playbook, right? Surprisingly, actually, John Ryan, his most famous maybe play in his NFL career was the, I think it was 2015 NFC Championship game, kind of sparked the comeback for the Seahawks against the Packers, right? And a fake field goal lineup turned into a touchdown pass. Noteworthy on the play was Steven Hauschka was the place kicker lining up for that one. So it's not like he really has to learn the playbook. He kind of just has to go out there and learn what side of the field should I kick this to for the returners, right? So the returners, gunners. So having said that, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think the main thing here is that what Colton Schmidt kind of neglects a little bit, spoke to our new contributing writer, Kevin Masseri, on this one the other day. He also runs Locked On Bills podcast, and I was on there with him, Jeremy, and we were talking, and he's, I kind of joke about it, but he is very much anti-Colton Schmidt and thinks the Bills can upgrade from that position. He does have some good points. I mean, Colton Schmidt doesn't get a ton of balls inside the 20. He doesn't have great hang time. His leg strength, there's a little bit more to be left to be desired there. And that's kind of where Corey Carter came into the picture, the punter who was injured last week, unfortunately. I mean, that's that's, you know, too bad when especially when a young guy who's vying for his first kind of job gets hurt. It's a bummer. Hopefully it's not the last we see him somewhere in the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, this just shows that they were serious about Carter hopefully taking over for Schmidt. And 12 years of experience, you're not really going to find much stiffer competition out there for Schmidt at this point.
In our last podcast, I was speaking with Joe Goodberry of The Athletic, and he made a really good point. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Nick, but they play the Colts in preseason game number 4, and then in week 1 they play them to open the season. Huh. So he made the point, which is a very bizarre schedule arrangement, to say the least, but they, you know, obviously are going to want to get their starters out a lot more, and Joe made the point that they're going to really want to see everything they can against the Bills later today. And you're probably going to see a little bit more game planning, a little bit lengthier of the starters staying out, you know, a little longer for the Bengals in this game just because of who they're playing next week in the Colts, which is interesting because I'm wondering how Sean McDermott's going to counter that and how long he's going to keep their starters out there. What would you be comfortable with? You know, you have to kind of weigh that, you know, leaving guys in for too long to maybe be more susceptible to injury or, you know, just get more playing time. I'm wondering just how McDermott's going to counter what's probably going to be, at least in the second half, for the Bengals starters.
Sure. I think you might just see almost a 50-50 split on offense between starters and then reserve guys, really just based on how the quarterback situation is going to line up. I mean, you only got two guys who can throw the football out there. Unless you count Logan Thomas, who used to be a quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, used to be a teammate, I think, of Tyrod Taylor at Virginia Tech. Don't quote.
That's correct. I think that's correct.
That's right. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
That sounds right. Yeah, that's right.
Let me off a little knowledge on the Bills Wire Daily podcast. But anyways, yeah, I think we're gonna. Alan's clearly the hype is that he's getting the start, so I think we're gonna at least see him out there for the half, and then I think Peterman should probably pop in about halftime, get the second teamers out there for the Bills, and I think on the defense. I think you're going to see probably the same split-up situation there. But because of recent injuries along the defensive line, especially with Kyle Williams, I think that you're going to see a pretty heavy rotation because they kind of want to keep away from any bumps and bruises with those guys. Because if Harrison Phillips goes down, then you got, you know, Adolphus Washington, and then who knows what. Walker's a new guy. Hatley, I don't know. I don't know. We're looking pretty thin at the defensive line without Kyle, so... Other than the defensive line, I think you're going to see probably, I'd go with a 50-50 split. 50-50 as in the starters for the first half, and then just the second and third team in the second half, reserve guys.
The second half. Yeah. And then Joe also mentioned, and this was an interesting point too, with the Bengals staying out there as long as he thinks that they're going to stay out there for. And we saw this last week against the Browns, and Greg Williams was kind of, not making it easy for Josh Allen or really for the Bills in general, stunning guys and not necessarily game planning, but playing more games up front with the defensive line. And the Bengals have a very good front with Dunlap, and they have just a great pass rush, good push up the middle as well. It'll be a good test for the offensive line, I think, in this game, and definitely one to watch, and I'll be watching. What position are you going to look out for most later today?
I mean, other than quarterback, I think you can say, because I think everyone's definitely going to be watching that one, because the winner, I think whoever plays better this game is probably going to have the best look at being the opening day starter, so I think that goes without saying. I'm certainly eager to see Marcus Murphy again. I mean, the guy's played great. Even LeSean McCoy couldn't get much going, but Marcus Murphy could. But I think I'll go with probably the nickel corner spot between Johnson and Gaines. I think that's pretty... pretty interesting. It's going to be, I mean, so far throughout the preseason, Johnson's just kind of slow and steady, gotten more and more reps. Is that going to keep up, or is Gaines going to sort of push back a little bit in this one? I'd expect him to kind of go in and out every other series with the starting defense. So that's been an interesting look. Johnson sort of just got better and better, and of course he took that kind of ugly hit from Jarvis Landry last week, and it kind of seemed like at the last split second he saw him coming and avoided serious injury. So if Johnson's out there, that's just... It's going to make another interesting season for the Bills in terms of last year you had Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, Deion Dawkins, all these young rookies that were making huge impacts. I mean, if Johnson's in there and he's a starter, because the nickel corner spot for the Bills is, of course, pretty much like a starter. Maybe you have Josh Allen out there, Tremaine Edmonds. It's another season with a lot of young guys just taking strangleholds on positions.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of the direction they're going is youth and cost-controlled players, and I think that's also due to the fact that Brandon Bean was trying to just clean up the cap a little bit, maybe a byproduct of that, but they do like the youth movement, I guess, and just kind of cleaning out what was part of the roster. I think for me, Nick, you made a good point in the secondary. I'm going to look at really the defense in general because of how they played and how poorly, I guess, they played against the run against Cleveland last game. Yeah, just in talking with Joe Goodberry again, and they kind of have a good, you know, tandem in Cincinnati with the running back with Mixon too there and the rookie Walton. So they have a good little 1-2 punch and also Bernard as well. So they have a good stable of backs, and I'm going to want to see the Bills try to stop those guys because, as Joe mentioned too, Marvin Lewis really wants to get the running game going, and that was something that Cleveland wanted to do, and they were effective at it. So I need to see the Bills, especially without Kyle Williams, be able to step up and stop the run at home and make sure that that's set. And then also the secondary too. I mean, these guys are one of the better secondaries in the entire league, and I think maybe not a top five, but certainly have the potential to be a top 10 secondary. And I don't want them to get complacent. You know, they're definitely a really confident group, especially the safeties. And Tre'Davious White, you know, never stops talking and is full of confidence. But I want those guys, like, to just be able to be dominant and show that they can, you know, put a stop to any passing attack that Andy Dalton wants to put up in the first half. And they have great receivers. You know, Boyd, you know, really came on, you know, even absent of his play to put the Bills in the playoffs. And then you have A.J. Green, obviously a you know, Pro Bowler there. So I'd really like to see the secondary, just the defense in general, Tremaine Edmonds step up. And I just want to see them be able to not allow Cincinnati to move the football and get points, because they do have a potent offense and they do have a lot of weapons, a lot more than you would think. Tyler Eifert at tight end, Tyler Croft, the Tylers both there at tight end. So they just have a lot of good players. Corey Glenn's fitting in fine there at left tackle, stabilizing their line. So for me, it's just going to be the defense. I really want to see what Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott can do to shore up what was a kind of a porous run defense last week and just maintain the course in the secondary to still maintain that dominance going into the regular season.
Yeah, the Bills have had struggles against the run now for a couple of years. I mean, going back to even the Rex Ryan days, they were bad for the couple of years under him. I mean, last year the defense sure broke the drought, basically, the secondary, but against the run, they were not good. They were, I believe, 29th in the league, maybe 126 yards per game, if I'm guessing. I mean, that's not good. So it's been a couple years now since the Bills have had a good run defense, really. And I mean, you saw last week, too, not to blame it on a couple guys individually, it's a team effort here, but I mean, a few times, Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, they just took awful angles on guys. I mean, there was times where they went to the holes to the left, and Carlos Hyde from Cleveland just went to the right, and they weren't even close. I mean, Edmonds seemed to recover a little bit better than Milano in the game, but more to be desired in the run defense for sure.
So what else do we have really kind of to look forward to with this game? Obviously, being a home game, the first Bills game on the road in Baltimore, so kind of the last chance for the Bills fans to see the team at home for a little bit, for a few weeks. Until the home opener. And I don't know, I'm just wondering, you know, what else would be on your mind? I kind of talked about the defense a little bit, but anything else maybe on the offensive side of the ball? We talked about tight end and Nick O'Leary maybe solidifying a spot after his performance in Cleveland, but anybody else in the offense that you're going
to
look at?
Yeah, I'm interested for sure to see O'Leary because he had a good game against Cleveland, but that was also, I mean, he should have a good game against third stringers based on his experience, and he did. But still, just because O'Leary had a good game doesn't mean that, I mean, Kari Lee, who's probably the best blocking tight end they have, he's even starting to flash in the passing game. I think he had 3 catches last week, not as many yards as O'Leary, but still. And then I remember McDermott spoke, my memory serves me correctly now, last Sunday after last Friday's game, and he said that, yeah, Nick shined during the game, but then Jason Kroom on Sunday in practice, so he still likes those guys. So it's going to be an uphill climb still, I think, for Nick O'Leary. I think he has to be, I published on Thursday my 10 bubble players and the Bills to watch. O'Leary's still one of my bubble players because I think he still has an uphill climb. He's not a McDermott guy. He's not a Brandon Bean guy. So we'll see what happens there. And while we're talking about tight ends, let's talk about wide receivers. I mean, if Brandon Riley, I think this is, it's got to be his last chance here on Sunday. He's got to get on the field. I mean, he was on there for warm-ups last week. He looks like he's going to play. He's been in a red non-contact jersey for most of this week. I think he got out of it later in the week on Thursday. He's got to have a big game. He only has one catch for 59 yards so far in the preseason. Not ideal. He's probably battling, Rod Streeter. Corey Coleman's probably a lock for the roster. They're seemingly bringing him along so slow that you got to think that they're just hoping by the regular season he's ready. Yeah. Other than those two, I mean, it seems like Holmes, Curley, Benjamin, and Zay, those guys are locks. So right there, plus Coleman, that's five. So are they going to take six? Are they going to take seven receivers? That's where special teams comes into play. Streeter doesn't really play too much special teams. Riley can, isn't, you know, he's been injured again. So lot to determine still at the wide receiver position. And with the starting offense getting an extended playing time and likely Josh Allen being the future for the Bills, whether it's week one, whether it's week two, three, four, or whenever he gets in this year or in the future, maybe it will be worthwhile for Streeter or Riley or one of those other guys to build the chemistry and show they have a chemistry with a guy like Josh Allen, and that'll probably go the distance for them when it comes down to roster cut day. So definitely the playmakers on Buffalo's roster is still a lot to be determined.
Yeah, especially the depth. Maybe the starters might be there. You know, McCoy, hopefully with his groin will be, you know, okay for week one. But, and I think we know that Kelvin Benjamin, you mentioned Curley, and, you know, Zay probably, you know, going to be there. But any injury or one or two injuries away, and the depth positions are still yet to be determined.
Yeah, that's what has me kind of worried, Jeremy, not to interrupt you, sorry, but that's what kind of about this season, because last year the Bills made the playoffs, and one of the reasons why I picked them maybe four or five wins last year was I thought these guys were injury or two away from just devastation somewhere on their roster. They just don't have much depth anywhere, and they once again really don't have much depth anywhere. The last two drafts, they've kind of gone deep in the draft and filled positions, but they filled them with, you know, hopeful starters, but, you know, still the depth. I mean, at corner, there's a little bit of a drop-off. I mean, at the defensive line, in the middle, there seems to be a drop-off. At the offensive line, seemingly everywhere, there would be a drop-off. So the depth on this team, I mean, there's, yeah, definitely some position battles still in the depth to be discovered here. And, I think they're an injury or two away this year, and hopefully they can stay relatively healthy. They still have. I mean, LeSean McCoy's day-to-day, Kyle Williams is week-to-week. They haven't had really any devastating injuries other than their, you know, punter, unfortunately. So, just to build off your comment there, Jeremy, about the injury situation, they've been really healthy under Sean McDermott.
I think the one guy that I'm maybe most, not concerned, but just bummed of not seeing in the lineup is Trent Murphy. I mean, they signed this guy.
Yep, he's another.
And no one has seen him, you know, play meaningful snaps in any of these preseason games. Barely working, you know, working on his own most of the time. Hasn't been in a lot of team practices because of his injury. Not that it's, you know, season ending or that serious yet, but he's just someone I'm kind of disappointed of not seeing more of, because he's, I think, in their plans was going to be a big part of the pass rush this year.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he was brought in for his pass rush. He wasn't brought in for his run defense. Really, none of these guys were brought in for the run defense. The Bills didn't really address it very well, other than hoping that the pass rushing skills translates to run defense skills. Because really, if you were looking to improve the run defense, you would have just left Shaq Lawson in over Trent Murphy. But, Trent Murphy, it's been very, very disappointing so far. And hopefully, even if he doesn't play this game, Jeremy, hopefully his signing pays dividends, right?
Sure. Eddie Yarborough stepped up a little bit, and you know, undrafted free agent Mike Love has, you know, Pro Football Focus. Broke him down.
He's got the good. Yeah. He's got those good Bills Wires jujus. He joined us on the podcast, so shout out to Mike Love for that, and the rest.
But he's
rest of you guys, depth guys who are definitely listening to this, who play on the Bills, y'all got to get on this podcast if you want to make this team, basically.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Ray McLeod, and he's had a pretty decent camp. I know he's been dinged up a little bit recently. But yeah, it seems like there is good juju here for sure.
There we go.
Let's just play a little bit what if here to wrap up this podcast, this Sunday edition, before the Bills match up here against the Bengals. What does Josh Allen have to do to win this job or lose it? And what does it look like? So I'm basically asking you, Nick, if Allen plays incredible, I think, you know, he's going to kind of force McDermott's hand. But let's say he plays mediocre, and so does Peterman. Like, they just, you know, they're average, 60% completion percentage or about, and, you know, maybe each guy throws one touchdown apiece. You know, they're pretty even. Does it go into the fourth preseason game, or do you think that it's just enough for Allen to get the nod going into week one?
I don't know. That's a good question, Jeremy. If they're even right now, it's just you don't really even know. It's almost like a flip of the coin right now heading into this game. Really a lot to be determined. This is really going to be kind of the deal breaker, I think, for one of these guys. If they're even, I mean, I would go with Peterman. I mean, I've laid out my thoughts on that. Just it seems like he's efficient. He's making good reads. He's not doing anything spectacular, but give Allen a little bit of time. 5 of the first 7 are on the road. Not to give a loser's mentality, but, you know, why rush Allen? Give him a little bit of time, and I would go with Peterman. But if Allen goes out there and he leads another game where, I mean, he had 3 scoring drives last week, A.J. McCarron, sucks that he got hurt, but at the same time, he was pretty brutal before he got hurt. So I think he's kind of worked his way out of the competition here, unfortunately for him. But if Allen leads, he came in, replaced McCarron after 4 straight 3-and-outs and just looked way better than comparatively to McCarron and really sparked the offense. So it's gonna be interesting. I think if Allen leads for me, if he leads a couple multiple scoring drives, that's gonna be the determining factor for me.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think, because once this game's over, I mean, we're going to be hyper focused and analyzing it, and I think we forget too sometimes, as just members of the media writing about the team, or just as onlookers from the outside too, we don't really see what's going on in the film room or practices, and that's the big determining factor too for coaches, that we all want to jump to conclusions after one half of playing in a preseason game. But that's what we have to do, and that's all we can see, because we're not on Hard Knocks, and we're not, Embedded's been really good, but there's just not much going on for us to make any determination there. So, Nick, any final thoughts as we enter the preseason, not finale, but might as well be the finale with the third preseason game? Any final thoughts to our listeners before tonight's matchup?
Final thoughts would be, I actually wrote this at the bottom of one of my stories with Jeremy, where no matter if it's Allen or Peterman, the Bills are being blessed right now with two good quarterbacks. So no matter what happens in this game, Bills fans should be happy and take whatever outcome there is. And because we have some time until kickoff now, go to BillsWire.com right now and check out some position battles. We have 10 bubble players to watch and plenty of other coverage for you to kill some time till kickoff. So y'all need to get up on Bills Wire.
For sure. Definitely check it out. Check out all the great work you guys are doing with Kevin jumping on board, with Rich and Justin, all the guys contributing to the site. It's all good. We're going to be definitely covering the game today, and then we'll have kind of a recap of tonight's matchup. Tomorrow, yep. On tomorrow's podcast to see what we all took away from tonight's game. So thanks, Nick, for joining me, and enjoy the game, everybody.